I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We're wondering, should we follow Northern Ireland's lead?
Hello everyone. Just some really positive news. Paid leave for miscarriage will come into effect here from the 6th of April. This means that the North will be leading the way as one of the first places in Europe to ensure paid leave for a miscarriage. This will include cover for both partners and include any stage of pregnancy. So I want to thank the incredible baby loss support organisations and the parents that have campaigned so passionately for this. And of course, my colleague, Sinn Féin Minister Caoimhe Archibald, for all the hard work to bring about this support. For me, society is defined by how we look after those who need us most. And I think this is a really strong step forward in that direction.
Yeah, that's Northern Ireland's First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, making the announcement on her social media account about paid leave for miscarriage due to come into effect from April 6th. Covers both parents, you know, interestingly as well, and at any stage of pregnancy. And we're asking, should we follow Northern Ireland's lead? You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Emma's with me on the line today because, Emma, you've had your own experience of this. How would paid leave after a miscarriage have helped in your situation?
God, it would have really helped. I'm sorry, I'm a bit emotional listening to that.
Of course,
yeah. It's like I'm elated to hear that, really. And a bit saddened as well. I suppose I live in the south. And look, it does a lot of things, Andrea. Like it would evidence your loss, like, you know, and also what honours your loss as well. You know, when you lose a baby through miscarriage, there is no the social norms don't apply. Yes, you know, you don't have a wake, you don't have a funeral. You know, you don't want to walk into Hallmark and go straight to the miscarriage or baby loss cards. There's a few now, which is lovely, and I know I got a few, especially with my my more recent loss, but. I think it can't be underestimated, you know, because we often, you know, like we walk out of the hospital, you know, we're fighting out as well to get a pregnancy certificate, even just to, that there's medical evidence that this has happened to a woman's body. That would be huge. I would have loved to walk out of my local hospital with one of those. That really would have helped my husband as well, and you know, my son as well, you know, because you're having those conversations, and it would legitimize so much, you know.
Goodness.
And also it would become the norm, say, even in conversations.
Yeah.
You know, the way we talk about compassionate leave. Oh God, so and so, someone's died, actually we won't expect them back, you know, for a few days. They have their 3 days off compassionate leave or whatever it might be. And that's what I mean. And look, there's loads of companies now, like this all started in 2021 with Labour and, you know, their reproductive bill. And now there's a pregnancy leave bill 2025. I'm talking the Republic of Ireland. But still, it is not over the line. And like loads of larger companies, you know, like Lidl, AIB, Diageo, you know, there's a good few. They've all pushed ahead and they do provide it at different levels. Anything up to, you know, from 3 days right up to a month. So the legislation that we have here, you're talking like up to 20 days. You know, for a person that's directly impacted, you know, and that would be 10 days as well, if you're going for fertility treatment. And it would do so much. Sorry, I didn't mean to be emotional. I never know.
Don't apologise. No, don't apologise at all, Emma, because I've no doubt, you know, and thank you for getting in touch and sharing your experience with us, because I have no doubt in my mind that others, you know, your situation will resonate with them. And I'm sure there are many men and women across the country listening to you thinking, my God, that would have really helped me or helped my partner yesterday or last week or the previous month or unfortunately next week or, you know, whenever it might happen to somebody. And you know, you're right to, I think, be, it's great that you're so open and honest and sharing actually how difficult this is. And yes, there's been more conversations around the impact of miscarriage in a couple. in recent years, but there's probably not enough. And, you know, we look at a couple of kilometres up the road at, you know, legislation that I've no doubt advocates in this area will describe as being so beneficial and like you have today and so helpful. And people will wonder, well, if I live in Belfast or, you know, I live anywhere in Northern Ireland, I'm going to be entitled to this. And if I live in Dublin or Donegal, I can't access it.
Yeah, and I work on a Peace Plus project, so we work either side of the border. So where I work in Belfast a bit as well. So like that, yeah, I'm up on the train. And to be honest, when I heard about that in Northern Ireland, I just thought, wow, what it is just to cross over a little bit of land on a train. And, you know, you get something else, you know.
A completely different treatment. And the fact that it's for both parents, it's paid leave, it's talking about 2 weeks and due to come in so soon as well, only on the 6th of April.
On the 6th of April. And I think it just, like, and we need, I suppose, yeah, all the companies have gone ahead. But like many things that we need the legislation, we need the government. And I always say, yeah, people, you know, email your local TDs. And we can see across there, like, you know, Labour, Sinn Féin, since 2021, there's been pushes and then, you know, something else and something else. But like just, you know, on the ground and you hear of all, and they're all female politicians, a lot of them, most of them are, some male as well. But you see them and you think, oh, is this it now, you know? And I know Jennifer Duggan is in the Oireachtas today from the Miscarriage Association of Ireland with Mary and Niall. They're pushing for pregnancy certificates or pregnancy loss certificates. And even to walk out of that, like, because I remember walking out and, you know, the way you'd often, like, a man, often men or birth partners, a friend, whoever it might be, is walking out with the car seat.
I know that picture on social media.
Yeah, and I even thought, oh, like, even just to be carrying an envelope, carrying, like, something really significant happened here.
That would really help, you think, having that certificate.
Oh, yeah, never mind that, you know, the conversations that would open up and work, the legitimacy to say on a return to work, and even for an employer to feel comfortable, you know, so-and-so is on miscarriage leave, they'll be back on reduced hours. For an employer to even be educated and comfortable enough to say that, you know, it just opens it up. You know, it normalises. And yes, we do say we talk about it so much more, just like you said, but then we always end up kind of circling back to it is the legislation. Because I think, you know, anybody that I've talked to, say even in my bit of voluntary work I've done, like, employers are very good when you talk to them and say, well, what can we ask an employee coming back and what's good? And I know, you know, there's lovely lists made of what's helpful today to say and what's not helpful. They're great for you know, for a family member, a neighbour, for anyone. But when you have this legitimised by leave, it, all of that will really, really follow and land so much more. You know,
absolutely. So, stay with us, yeah. Emma, for a moment, and listen, thanks again for sharing your story with us. Siobhan O'Neill White from mams.ie is on the line as well. Emma, do you think we should introduce something similar here, Siobhan?
First off, I wish I could give Emma a hug because I've had two miscarriages, and the pain and the loss, it has a profound effect on your life, profound, because when you find out you're pregnant, your future changes. Even, you know, you do the pregnancy test and you start to imagine Christmas, we're going to have an extra person in the house. Your whole future changes. And then when you lose that pregnancy, you can't just flick a switch and put your mind back to how it was before. It doesn't work like that. It's a huge loss and it's really, really difficult to process. And not just emotionally. The physicality of a miscarriage cannot be underestimated. So my first miscarriage, I went into the hospital and I was bleeding and they sent me home and said, look, it'll probably just happen, you know, naturally at home. But I went home, there was a huge amount of blood. I was worried. My husband brought me in and they had to admit me. And it was really, really such a traumatic experience. And afterwards, I was really unwell physically and I bled for a few weeks. So it's actually physically extremely hard on your body. So the idea of going straight back to work, you're physically unable, like you're physically, as well as emotionally, of course. So I think if it's actually something that's put in place by employers, and it's exactly what Emma said, it legitimizes the process and the law. So there's a procedure in place there that if you have a miscarriage, and I think it's a good idea to have a pregnancy loss certificate. I think that's a good idea mm-hmm. to be able to hand that to your employer, because it's like, this is what's happened. And then they have, then they say, right, well, the procedure is you have, what, whether it's 1 week or 2 weeks off. And I know I bled for 4 weeks after my first miscarriage. I had to go on iron tablets. It was a really, really, really traumatic experience. And on the second miscarriage,
physically difficult, Siobhan, as well.
Honestly, physically, I was absolutely exhausted. And nobody really tells you about that. So when I went into the hospital when I was bleeding the first time, and they did a scan, and the baby was still alive, and we were really hopeful that everything was going to be okay, but then obviously it wasn't. And I didn't realise that a miscarriage could be so physically challenging. I mean, it's very much like labour. There's contractions, there's a lot of pushing and all that kind of stuff. So it's very much like giving birth, but at the end of it, you don't have a baby, you don't have anything, your arms are empty, and it's extremely traumatic. And some hospitals are handling it quite well, and other hospitals don't handle it so well. Our experience the first time was very, very negative. I was in a room with women who were all full term in labour, and I was the only one losing a baby. And I remember putting my hand over my mouth, because I didn't want them to know I was losing a baby, and I was crying because I didn't want to take away from the experience they were having of going to give birth to healthy babies. I remember thinking, don't upset them. Now, obviously, no woman should ever be put in a position where I was trying to hide my crying. That was terrible, because all that was between us was curtains. So it was so traumatic. And afterwards, I spoke with the hospital about that and said, you know, it was a really bad way. I felt they really didn't look after me. So they offered me counselling, and I went in for the counselling, and it wasn't a proper counsellor. It was somebody who said, well, they've asked me to come and talk to you. And I thought, it's not even a proper counsellor. So they weren't taking it seriously in terms of the mental health support that you need afterwards. And the physical support you need as well. You will need to go maybe to your doctor. Mm. I thought the bleeding, I thought there was something wrong with me, but that was to be expected. So I didn't understand physically what was going to happen to me. And then emotionally, I was full of rage, crying, upset. I was just a mess, an absolute mess. So the idea of going into work, and I actually had just been started a new job. And when I explained what had happened, and I was quite unwell for a few weeks, and they said, look, maybe it's not the right time, and I hadn't signed the contract. So I lost that job. That was gone, because there was about 4 weeks where I just wouldn't have been physically able to do it.
Yeah.
So I remember staying at home a lot and just kind of burrowing under the covers. And then people don't know what to say to you. And I would always say, look, if somebody has a miscarriage, the best thing to say is, I'm really sorry. Is there anything I can do to help? Don't say, oh, sure, it was God's will. Or don't say, maybe that was said to me. Don't say, it might have been a blessing in disguise. That baby could have been deformed. Don't say, sure, you already have a baby, so aren't you lucky? Because I had a one-year-old at the time. Don't say anything like that. Even though people have good intentions, don't say anything like that. All you have to say is, can I do anything? And you know what?
Well, it's good advice.
Bring a casserole. Bring something.
Something like that.
No, bring something. And also for the men as well, I think it's important, because they get sidelined and it's really difficult for the guys too.
Well, just when you mentioned that, actually, and Siobhan, thank you for sharing that experience with us, because Barry is on the line as well. And Barry, you've been listening to Siobhan and Emma there. You yourself and your wife went through this, is that right?
Yeah, and look, thanks for having me on, Andrea. Yeah. I would echo everything that the two ladies before have said, especially your second caller there. I think I was on your show before, and I highlighted almost an exact similar situation with my wife, with just a curtain separating her, and how awful that was. I guess I can only highlight our situation, because every situation is different, about how absurd it is kind of really at the moment, to where, you know, you're going through all the trauma that goes with a pregnancy loss, particularly for the women. You know, the physical trauma, the emotional trauma, the psychological trauma, even some social trauma thrown in there as well, with the stigma around it. But there's also then the lack of support there, or the lack of legitimacy that's given to a situation like this. And I guess in my situation, my wife on her second miscarriage was a little bit further along. She went into hospital at 17 weeks, was there for 3 weeks. I suppose as a man, I was trying to support her as much as I can. Mm. And the last thing that wants to come into your mind at a situation like that is the financial aspect of it. And whether, where's my next paycheck coming? Will I be paid? My employer were brilliant. They gave me plenty of time to process it all, but that was all unpaid. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is thrown in on top of everything else. And that just adds to the stress and the trauma that's taking place.
It's such a difficult
time. We were probably lucky that my wife was able to take as much time as she needs, because I have a pretty okay job. But there's probably other women in a situation whereby the financials are a huge thing for
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. And as you said, even,
into the workplace
getting a
way
sick.
Too early. And it is way too early, Andrea. I mean, the callers before were talking about their situation. Women that go through this are not just sick. They are very sick. They've gone through a huge trauma, both emotionally, physically, everything. And they need time to process that. But from a male perspective, for me, the biggest thing would be the support. You want to be there to support your wife or your partner that's going through this.
So when you heard, Barry, sorry to cut across you for a moment, when you heard today about this being introduced in Northern Ireland, what was your reaction?
I think it's a great start. What I would say is 2 weeks is probably the bare minimum. 2 weeks is a help. It certainly would have been a help to us. I remember when my wife finally miscarried after 3 weeks in hospital, we did actually bury our son Conan, and that was on a Monday. I had to go back to work on a Wednesday. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's be listening today that would say that that's enough time to process situation. My wife was able to take a bit more time off, but she'll always say, and I'm sure she's probably listening, she would say that even at, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, it's probably too soon. And it probably needs to be in conjunction with employers and not just support from the government, but in conjunction with employers, this kind of phase reintroduction back in, but also that colleagues and people in the business are aware, I suppose, of the situation and that they can help that phased or managed work back into the workplace.
Absolutely. And Barry, thanks for sharing that experience, your own and your wife's experience with us on the programme. I just want to bring Tracy Carroll in for a moment. Tracy is the Vice President of Safe for Birth Ireland. Do you think we'll have something like this, a similar initiative, Tracy, here in the South?
I do believe that, yes, it will come into play, how long that takes and how it's shaped, that's to be seen. But I mean, as all your callers have said, it's a different experience for every parent, and it's necessary time for the physical and emotional healing. I think people don't validate the real experience of miscarriage, and it's a loss and it's a grief, and it really deserves compassion. You know, the minute you find out you're pregnant, you have built this world around your baby. This becomes a real person, your baby in your arms, and you're just waiting for that day that, you give birth. So I think, we kind of align it and dismiss it as a standard illness. And one of four pregnancies ends in miscarriage. And so many women are battling this in work and, afraid to speak out because there's a bit of stigma around it as well. And, it's essential to address the gender inequality in the workplace as well. Women carry a lot more than men do on a day-to-day. We carry the babies. We face all these obstacles. We have all the hospital appointments. So on a day-to-day basis, it's a very different experience from men, but we must recognise the partners in this as well because they are also experiencing a loss and a grief. Just to appreciate that this really is something that is a grief. Mm. But, we can say, you're only 3 weeks long, 4 weeks long.
Oh, sure,
it doesn't matter.
No.
The minute you become pregnant, your experience... Yeah, your whole world changes in that moment that you get those two lines on the pregnancy sick.
And even, you know, listener here is telling me about, you know, receiving a sick leave cert or get, you know, their doctor afterwards telling them to go off sick. Like, you know, I'm reading some of the messages coming in from listeners about this. They aren't sick. I mean, people are grieving. Like, that's, they're going through trauma in their life. It's not an illness or a sickness that couples have in, you know, in the aftermath of a miscarriage. TD for Dublin South Central, Fianna Fáil TD, Catherine Arda is with us on the line as well. Is this something, Catherine, that government's likely to bring in now that we see it coming into effect in Northern Ireland?
Lee, Ivana Bacic had a bill in the last Seanad, the Reproductive Health Leave Bill, which gave 20 days paid leave for miscarriage and also 10 days paid leave for IVF and fertility treatments. I was involved in a publicly funded IVF bill with my colleague Fiona O'Loughlin. And from a personal perspective, the IVF and the sort of early pregnancy loss is something that, like, I'd probably have my own experience of. Mm. So a lot of people going through IVF and, like, and also I just want to say your callers and your contributors, you know, are bringing me nearly to tears here. So, and I know it's really hard to discuss personal issues like this, and nobody wants to go on radio to discuss personal issues, but it's really important. And thank you, Andrea, for covering it, to have these conversations, because, you know, we don't at the moment have a bill like this, you know, ready to go. And I think conversations like this, you know, will help, you know, push that forward, that conversation on a little bit.
And the fact that it's now been announced in Northern Ireland to come into effect on April 6th, which is only, what, maybe two weeks away, do you think it will start a conversation here now? Like, will government look at that and say, well, we should do the same?
Absolutely. And it's, like, incumbent on, like, you know, broadcasters like yourself and, you know, members of the public, I suppose, to write to their TDs, to get onto their TDs, to raise the issue. I certainly will be raising it, you know, with the Minister for Health. There's also scope for, you know, more private members bills to be laid before the House by, you know, government backbenchers and opposition TDs. But definitely, I think it's something I'd like to see legislated for in this jurisdiction. I think it's really progressive, and you know, it's so difficult. And as others said, what's happening is women are going out sick, and they're not sick. You know, they're grieving, or they're going through IVF fertility treatment. They're not sick. They just need support.
And it is remarkable that Northern Ireland leading the way is this as well, or leading the way in this this regard. One of the first places across Europe to ensure there will be paid leave for miscarriage, for both, covering both parents. And the other interesting part, as I said a little earlier, to include it, you know, at any stage of the pregnancy as well. A statement from the Miscarriage Association of Ireland, they say that they're very much welcoming and encouraging the introduction of this in the South, in the Republic of Ireland, for parents, that there's been a lot of discussion around this recently. We're hopeful that we will follow suit follow on from our counterparts in Northern Ireland in introducing this much needed support for grieving parents across the country. I know there's more and more of you getting in touch about this. We might come back to this tomorrow if you want to share your own experience with us. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.